Welcome to the Space Show, Jeremy.
Thank you.
When was the Mount Stromlo Observatory established?
Well, its history actually goes back to the time of the Australian Constitution. A part of the Constitution, in fact, I think it's Section 51, says that the federal government will have a charge of astronomy. And when the state astronomers read this, they immediately became interested in establishing a headquarters in the ACT. And so site testing for Mount Stromlo Observatory began around 1910, and the main body of the observatory was built in the 1920s.
So it really came out of a sort of a jealousy from the states.
Oh, I don't know about that. Astronomy has always required significant funding, and when the astronomers spotted the funding opportunity or the possibility of that, they started thinking national rather than state.
And what's the role of the observatory been over the years?
It's changed over the years. In the early days, a wide range of research was undertaken. In the 1920s to 1950s, it was the Commonwealth Solar Observatory, and much of the work was related to the study of the Sun and the astrophysics of the Sun. In the 1950s, under the directorship of Richard Woolley, the emphasis was moved to astrophysics of stars and of the galaxy. And it has been an astrophysical observatory ever since that time.
And what sort of work's done there now?
We span the gamut of astronomy and astrophysics, excluding work on the solar system, which falls now largely to the lot of geologists. That's where planetary science is now. So if you step out from the solar system, everything outside that volume is what we're interested in. And of course, Mount Stromlo is, and has been since Richard Woolley's time, a part of the Australian National University, which was founded in 1946, and the observatories joined in the mid-50s. And so we have a graduate student program and everything that goes with that.
And what sort of instruments do you have at the observatory?
The instrument which is doing the most exciting work at the moment actually has some relation to Melbourne, because it was formerly called the Great Melbourne Telescope, and as an early sign of Anglo-Australian cooperation, it was set up in Melbourne in the late 1860s, 1870s, after optical work had been done in Ireland. And the collaboration was between the Royal Society of Victoria and the British Royal Society. By the 1940s, the telescope had fallen into disuse, and it was imported to Mount Stromlo, completely reconditioned, and operated there till the 1980s. Then along came the research opportunity to try to identify dark matter in the galaxy. That is all the matter that we know must be in the galaxy, because it is responsible for the gravitational field that all of the stars and gas in the galaxy responds to. And so the MACHO project began, the search for massive compact halo objects, and was conducted and is conducted now with an again reconditioned Great Melbourne Telescope, and that's been going on since, that work has been going on since 1992. Additional telescopes, there's a larger telescope, the 74-inch telescope, 1.9 metres in primary mirror diameter, and a 30-inch telescope besides. Since around 1968, we have also had a dark site away from the City Lights of Canberra at Siding Spring Observatory, and our larger telescopes are sighted there now.
How bad is the light pollution from Canberra?
Well, it's certainly a problem. It adds to the brightness of the night sky and prevents us from seeing the faintest objects. But where you can find research that can be done on relatively bright objects, and this MARCHO project is an example of what can still be done under the Canberra night sky as it is at present, where you can find programs that don't require the sky to be totally dark, then we can still conduct the work at Mount Stromlo, and we do.
So the Siding Spring Observatory is built basically to get away from the light, or is it better weather as well?
The main incentive, I think, was to get away from the pollution that accompanies the city of Canberra. And the Siding Spring site is certainly a superior site in every way to Mount Stromlo. The weather may not be the best weather you could find in continental Australia, but it's certainly competitive. And while we have examined other sites, there's no good reason for moving Siding Spring Observatory, for example, to any other site in Australia. And the site has been graced with Australia's largest telescope since 1974, the Anglo-Australian 4-metre telescope. And that's a testament to the quality of the site as well.
Is that telescope part of your responsibility?
No, it isn't. It is operated by the Anglo-Australian Observatory, which is a 50-50 collaboration between Australia and the United Kingdom. And while our astronomers, just as astronomers from every university in Australia, do a lot of their work with the AAT, we don't have any operational responsibilities for the telescope itself. We do service the site and maintain facilities which benefit the AAO.
So how many telescopes are there at Siding Spring, and how many of them are owned by the United Kingdom or United Kingdom and Australia jointly?
The Anglo-Australian Observatory has two telescopes, a 4-metre telescope known as the AAT, and also a survey telescope often referred to as the UK Schmidt, but now actually a joint responsibility. And our telescopes, the ANU telescopes on Siding Spring, start with a 2.3-metre telescope, the Advanced Technology Telescope, and run through a 40-inch, 24-inch and 16-inch telescopes, and also a smaller survey telescope. And the third component of the site, that is Siding Spring, is a small patrol telescope operated by the University of New South Wales.
Has any consideration been given to moving the Melbourne telescope to Siding Spring?
At the moment, its use for the MARCHO project requires that we leave it right where it is, where it's doing excellent science, and in fact we're about to sign an agreement with our US partners in this project to operate it for a further 5 years on Mount Stromlo.
And what sort of work are you doing at Siding Spring? What sort of research work?
Well, again, the work spans the full gamut of research that tries to understand how the galaxy works, all the way to extragalactic astronomy, in which we're trying to understand, for example, how the large-scale structure of the universe formed, how galaxies formed, and how the universe is evolving.
Are there any new developments that you're hoping to institute at Siding Spring?
Siding Spring has a major project on the Anglo-Australian telescope, which will begin early next year. And that is called the 2-degree field project. I think others will describe to you what this project offers. It is a real opportunity to learn how the structure of the universe has changed over the years with a world-beating new instrument, and that's certainly the big development on Siding Spring Mountain at the present time. But there are a number of other possibilities, and maybe we'll talk about those in a year or so's time.
I believe you're going to do some work on the 2.3 metre telescope.
Yes, we have a very exciting instrumental project which I'm looking at very closely that will start up early next year. One of the problems, as you probably know, which limits astronomical observations is the effect of the atmosphere in broadening stellar images. And a new technique called adaptive optics offers the opportunity to correct the images that we obtain from ground-based telescopes so that the image quality is significantly improved by nulling out the atmospheric wander that stellar images show. And we will do this by driving the secondary mirror with a very rapid response signal to concentrate the stellar image, if you like. And so we're working on the instrumentation for that at the present time. So the 2.3 meter telescope, equipped with this new tip-tilt secondary mirror, should have materially improved images, and we are looking to test that out early next year. The impact on our research really should be very significant.
Can the public visit these two observatories, Siding Spring and Mount Stromlo?
Siding Spring Observatory at the moment has an excellent visitor centre, which I think all your listeners, and many of them may have visited, all your listeners would be interested in seeing. It is adjacent to the Warrumbungles National Park, and many Victorians driving up to Queensland drive right through Coonabarabran. We'd like to encourage them to take that 35k trip off the Newell Highway and visit Siding Spring Observatory.
What do they see when they get there?
The visitor centre has an exhibition which introduces you to all aspects of astronomical research, and there is a visitor's gallery for the Anglo-Australian telescope, so you can actually get to see Australia's largest optical infrared telescope.
And what times is the centre open?
The visitor centre is open 9 to 4 every day, and so it's really a very convenient stopover if you're passing through Coonabarabran.
And does it cost?
The exhibition has a $5 entry charge, and I think there's a $3 concession.
So to get there, they just hang a left from Coonabarabran.
The signs are marked all the way, and you can combine the trip with a trip to the Warrumbungles National Park. It's a really beautiful environment.
Lots of kangaroos.
There are lots of kangaroos, both in the park and in the observatory.
Okay, well, we encourage everyone to do that. Thank you for joining us tonight on The Space Show, Jeremy.
You're very welcome.